go to. They're all spooky. I'm gonna pick that one over on across the street.
Dad, do you? Oh, what the? Hey! Sorry about that!
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I think we're pulling a fast one on you. Everyone expected us to have The Nun coming out today, and that will be with you in due enough time. We're going to wait another day or two before we drop our review of The Nun. And,
best laid plans, right?
Yeah. Hollywood waited forever to review The Nun, so why shouldn't we wait another day or two?
Absolutely. It's kind of real life coming in upon us today.
Scheduling conflicts, that's all.
Conflicts. So we're getting a quickie. And we'll make it some afternoon delight for you.
I had a dollar. Yeah, we're doing a little bit of a quick episode today, a little mishmash of a couple things. Going to introduce a new interactive thing that we kind of want to think you guys could have fun with, and we want to make you more of a part of our show. So we'll get to all that in a minute. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike here, and you know who brings a knife to a gunfight?
Yeah, damn right he does. And he wins the fucking fight, too, because you can't be killed. Best.
Michael Myers.
Halloween 2. The second Halloween trailer. I can't even speak. The second Halloween trailer debuted yesterday. We're recording this September 6th, September 5th. The second Halloween trailer came out. We see Laurie Strode. What do you think of that wig, by the way, that Jamie Lee Curtis is wearing?
Strong wig.
You like it, yeah.
It is a strong wig. I didn't even know it was a wig.
I agree,
until I saw her in the first look video getting interviewed with the short hair.
I wonder if the short hair is, like, people with short hair can pull off wigs easier for the aesthetic look then.
I'm amazed at the visual effects. What did you call it the other day? The esthetician? Does that mean beautician?
Yes, that's a beautician, yes.
Okay, so in terms of the beautician in me, I'm amazed with the subject matter in today's episode. Great wigs.
Yeah.
And great effects for Samuel Jackson later.
That is probably the greatest compliment that you've given anyone
on the
show.
I can't wait for this movie.
So, yeah, we're going to go through the Halloween trailer. We're going to go through some new Marvel stuff that just dropped. September 5th was a big day on social media as far as upcoming movies go and people trying to break the internet with their products. And we're going to take it one by one. Let's start with the Halloween trailer. Go ahead, Mike.
The bus crashed.
Michael Myers escaped.
He'll return to Haddonfield, his home.
I need to protect my family.
I love this trailer, how it focuses on a few scenes here. Right from the beginning, you get Michael Myers in that vintage scene where he's moving about the trick-or-treat extravaganza of a busy neighborhood.
Where did they find that setting? Are you kidding me? Like, it's such a busy street, and then there just happens to be this overlit walkway off to the side that connects to a house that's all in its isolation. I thought it was so beautiful. Whoever is in charge of finding these settings for these horror movies deserves more pay.
Incredible and terrifying. And yeah, I mean, Michael Myers and that kid from Wonder are the only two kids, the only two people on the planet that, like, Halloween is their favorite night of every single year, but for totally different reasons. And yes, this is just so terrifying how he randomly, after he bumps into a kid, randomly hangs a right and goes into that house where the woman just happened to walk
right
by
in.
Goes right in and kills her. That's so absurdly terrifying.
This whole trailer was such a throwback to the original Carpenter movies that you had a lot of callback shots. That shot where he starts with the low angle on Michael Myers and you pan up and see that's who the kid ran into. That's a callback to one of the original Carpenter movies. There's the scene where we end up at a truck stop, which is from Halloween 4. There's a scene where we end up in a bathroom, which could be seen. Mm-hmm. I think it was H2O, I want to say. So there's a lot of little nods, even though it's not a direct continuation from all the 18 sequels that the original product spawned. There are a lot of winks and nods, which I really appreciate, but it seems like they really took the, like, to use your word, aesthetic that John Carpenter put forward back in the late 70s, and they called right back to it, and I loved it.
I think we get the best voiceover, Mike, in a trailer in a while. The trailer tells a story here, which is just great. Like, the last one was kind of a highlight reel, more or less. And you have the teeth kind of thrown in early.
It was like a wow thing.
Scare you right from the beginning. In this trailer, you get kind of that one scene focus, Michael walking through the Halloween as hiding in plain sight.
Great tracking.
And then the kill, and then, you know, Laurie Strode's voiceover describing how each and every night of her life she's prayed for Michael to escape.
That he would escape.
What the hell did you do that for?
Yeah, you got a mini reversal there. And then, of course, why? Because showdown time, baby.
so I can kill him.
I want to make Laurie Strode, Jamie Lee Curtis scream,
Michael!
I want that to be my ringtone. I think I might do that. It fits for me personally.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's very good. It's a little disturbing.
It's very, and I think that fits my motif.
Disturbing because it's about, you know, your psyche saying that people calling you are trying to lure you into a death trap scenario.
Yes, I don't like interacting with people.
So that's the subtext of that is very disturbing.
Very juicy. Yes, lots of gnaw on.
Mike, I love the musical progression in this trailer.
The highlight for me. Absolute highlight. You have the three main Halloween scores, but they're not even scores.
Jingles.
Just,
some
yeah,
might jingles. Say jingles.
I'll say, yeah.
I was kidding.
No, that works, though.
Because no, you're right.
The original, that's the score. The two beats, the low, dun, the two piano hits, and then that one note, that one low note that hits every couple.
The bus crashed.
It's, again, so, it's like it came right out of the 1979 movie.
Right.
I mean, they're hit so well. It warms my heart. David Gordon Green and, I'm going to call him Kenny Powers throughout this whole thing, Danny McBride, in their early interviews about this, they wanted to emphasize how such big fans of the product they were. They're such big Halloween fans originally. And it always made me, I was leery knowing that they were comedy guys, but I was hopeful in that if anyone's going to do proper service to an entity, it's going to be a fan of it.
Well, just the way they tell the story with the score, the music in this trailer is excellent.
And that doesn't happen unless you are a fan of the series. I mean, you need to know how Carpenter used those, and it is a Carpenter score on top of it, so you had to pay respect to it. Oh, it was beautiful.
Now, a question I have for you here, is Michael's mask scarier in this trailer than I've seen in other movies? Because does it look aged?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's why. I think that's purposely done. It's more carved up and... I think they beat it up in dirt in real time, but in the kayfabe of it is that it's supposed to be like locked away in a locker or something.
Yeah,
because this iteration is that he was been in captivity for 40 years and he just escaped now. So, I guess that's the kind of the progression that we're going with.
Yeah, that works for me too. So, any takeaways from the first look? I mean, John Carpenter seems to be happy and on board with things. They're using his score, obviously.
Hey, man, he's the horror master. He's the grandfather of this.
Poster is pretty cool. That dropped yesterday.
The face-on-face thing. Oh, I'm such a sucker. They're doing it right for me.
In terms of, you know, hyping up this story, Mike, we don't know what's going to happen. Laurie Strode could die. Michael could die and then resurrect kind of at the end. She could win, and then you get the showdown part two in a sequel.
You're right. We don't know what happens, but two, it also doesn't matter what happens because we've seen Michael get his head chopped off, and they retconned it. We've seen Laurie die. I mean, that's kind of a spoiler, but don't watch Halloween Resurrection anyway. But we've seen Laurie die, and they retconned it here. Yeah. So there's ways around anything they want to do anyway. I'm hopeful this is a universe building, and this is they're saying projections for this or what?
If they retcon it 10 years from now, and Jamie Lee Curtis is like in a nursing home, like Michael Myers
exactly.
is coming after her in a wheelchair, he's there too.
just dueling,
did I just come up with another great movie?
That would be hilarious. One of them hits like a pebble in the hallway. They spin. Oh yeah,
it's just one scene for 2 hours.
But that's the resurrection.
Them crawling after her like old people.
Michael with a cane.
Directed by the guy who did Amour.
I would see it. Yes, yeah. I would buy a ticket. That's actually what Resurrection was, though. It was Laurie in a mental institution, in a hospital. Mm-hmm. Michael found her, and then stuff happened. He killed her, and then Busta Rhymes lived.
I just wonder what's Danny McBride and David Gordon Green's ultimate goal was. Is it to finally have Michael kill Laurie Strode?
Maybe.
Is that like their secret punch at the end of
this? I would say.
Or is it vice versa?
I would say Judy Greer's contract may tell you where this is going. If she signed up for like 3 films, then maybe this turns into her.
Is Michael going to haunt
series.
Judy Greer?
Yeah, it's her,
and her
series
family
from now on, yeah.
Next, yeah.
And they kill off Laurie Strode now.
The matriarch
so
is
I would
gone.
Say, look to Judy Greer's contract and see what she signed up for. And again, listen, the most important thing about this is going to be the opening weekend. And it's projected for a pretty big number, at least from what I've seen early. So that's.
Right.
Good to see. It's fun to see.
I mean, maybe they'll take their comedy background and Michael winds up on San Juan Teneo at the end of the film. And he's making a boat.
Well, what are the best horror movies that we've seen in the last couple of years? They've all had those comedic elements. And I think if anyone knows how to do comedy, it's the freaking Eastbound and Down guys.
You're right, though. The Inside Baseball, they're gonna have something set up with Judy Greer for the next movie.
I hope
movie.
So.
Or is that a misdirection?
Could be. I don't know. There's a lot of capabilities. All I know is what I've seen in the two previews so far. I'm very excited. I'm less cautiously excited than I am just overtly like, I just want to see it. I just need to get this out here. And they've done a really good job of playing towards the lifelong fans while also opening the doors for new people to come in. I think it's a very relatable story. Hey, there's a maniac on the loose that likes killing people.
This was an excellent trailer just based on solely that. Just we've analyzed a lot of trailers.
Totally.
You know, three Oscar trailer episodes. We've done a Comic-Con trailers. We've done datas on the first Halloween and Mandy. And we have just been diving into trailers and their construction. This one tells a story. It has big hits. It gives you the goosebump factor.
I also wonder how Laurie Strode, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, is going to be, if she's going to be the nutcase, the town nutcase.
Because I hope so.
They're retconning the whole story to be like, he was only there this one night 40 years ago, and she looks like she's been around telling everyone, oh, he's going to come back.
Yeah, it makes
sense. And she built this, like, military-style bunker in her house.
Good. It makes sense for once. Like, we have so many other characters that just seem to get past their traumatic dealings in horror movies.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, like, Nev
that
Campbell,
doll
like,
just came to life. Let me get some sleep first, and I'll deal with it in the morning.
Go back to our Conjuring Universe pods. And now we have a character that is batshit crazy.
Yeah, that's a good
Let
point.
Let her be batshit crazy, because she should be. Her Fair brother enough. Keeps coming back to life after
It's not her brother,
his,
Michael.
His
They clear that
off.
Up in the first trailer. It's All no right. longer her brother.
Her stalker.
I don't
oh, good
know
God.
How I feel about that, but yeah, that's... Yeah. Mm.
Evil is real.
So we had another big story come out. That's the Halloween segment. We had another big story come out yesterday. Brie Larson teased on the night of September 4th, hey, Entertainment Weekly, I'm bored. You want to break the internet? It was a tweet that she made, and they said, yeah, sure. How's noon tomorrow? And that's, I hate this forced, spur-of-the-moment right. conversation.
If she delivered it as a line in a interview or something,
right.
we would believe it because she's a great actress.
Right.
But yeah. on Twitter, yeah. she's not a great writer. No,
but we did get to see the first stills.
She's no at MM and Oscar.
That's it. That's exactly the comparison I was thinking of. But we did see the first stills of Brie Larson in the full Captain Marvel regalia. We saw some first stills from the set that's going to be in the new issue of Entertainment Weekly coming out. What did you think of seeing Brie Larson in her first form as Captain Marvel?
So first and foremost, she has a suit that is pretty flashy. It's like the Spider-Man.
Is it too Spider-Man-y?
Thor, Captain America, Wonder Woman level flashy here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen the X-Men just go with like leather onesies
right.
or whatever.
Right, it's true. It seems true to the comic book form, one of the comic book
okay.
forms anyway.
And in this movie, yes, she does have like that, all right, I'm in space and I just got a gray leather suit. So maybe not the whole movie. She's not wearing the Captain Marvel kind of outfit there. But
yeah.
it's very colorful and it's worked for other Marvel characters. Again, who has a more colorful suit than Thor? Right, who has a more colorful suit than Spider-Man? So it does work for other characters.
And it does match the color scheme. It looks very similar to Captain America's layout, and Captain Marvel is supposed to be kind of the female Captain America. I think it's very important for Marvel as a whole to get this right, because this is turning into the most important non-Avengers MCU movie since, like, Civil War, probably.
Right. I like the fact that they're going well before the Infinity War
yes.
timeline. So that we don't have to deal with the heaviness of that timeline. We're staying spoiler-free here, but of course it turns out to be heavy. It's part one of two Infinity Wars. And it's called Infinity War, for Christ's sake. So yeah, we have Guardians of the Galaxy, Ronan the Destroyer, or the Usurper, I forget what his surname was, but Lee Pace from Halt and Catch Fire, one of my favorite Marvel villains thus far. He plays every scene with relish.
And we needed
insanity.
More of him, too. He kind of got lost in the funniness of the first Guardians movie. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted more just pure evil psychosis from him.
So I don't know if he has a cameo, if he's
I'm
a big
also the
deal
guy that
here.
Just gushed over Michael Myers killing babysitters for 20 minutes, so I guess that's my psyche.
I think it cements the timeline, knowing that Lee Pace is from a later film, that he's back here.
That's not the biggest returning character, though.
No, Samuel L. Jackson. Mike, is this photoshopped? Is this totally VFX'd?
I saw a post from him. I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, but he seemed to suggest that, wow, look at the de-aging tools that Marvel Studios is capable of and blah, blah, blah.
So in something a photo.
Along those lines. So I think, scrutinized photo.
Because this looks like Samuel Jackson from The Negotiator in 1990s.
That's what I think he said. It was like, it looks like I'm 25 years younger or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, so to me, that would suggest that it is, in fact, the VFX caught in a photo, which you're right, is astounding. That they were able to have it look that good on paper and just kind of present it to the world like that, because it looks like a young Samuel L. And he's got both eyes. Not that that's spoiling anything, but there's no eye patch on this Nick Fury.
All right.
Just a scar.
How do I not get that?
You didn't see that? You were too caught up in the Negotiator movie.
I was too caught up with the hairline just fitting.
Coming out of nowhere. Well,
seamlessly from skin to hair. It made sense. I was like, whoa.
Marvel and Halloween have just owned you with their hairline aesthetics lately, and you're just in awe.
That's why I like the MCU so much, because little things, little touches like that make me happy.
But yeah, so we have Nick Fury before the Fury of Nick Fury, I guess, happens. He still has both eyes. He's probably not as reserved and wise as he appears to be in all the Avengers movies. And you would think that Captain Marvel is going to be a big turning point for the series and probably lay out the groundwork for what needs to happen in that fourth Avengers movie.
Yes, he's a definite connection for her. And I think it's interesting that we also have like a Guardians of the Galaxy connection. So we're going to space. We got alien villains. We got Ben Mendelsohn, who, you know, if you want no spoilers, don't listen to this. But Ben Mendelsohn apparently plays a green alien guy in full makeup on a beach, who then is Ben Mendelsohn in the city because he's a shapeshifter bad guy or whatever.
Go. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool, but it's also so Mendelsohn. But I mean, I think it's interesting that we have this saga right now with Guardians of the Galaxy and the director, James Gunn, being ousted and Bautista kind of not sure if he's going to act in it.
Yeah, he just got new representation too with CAA, Creative Artists Agency, so that's kind of interesting as to what he's going to do. There's a lot of, can they do Guardians without Bautista?
It would screw up the dynamic.
I would think so too.
That dynamic works so well together.
Yeah.
The jokes are just hitting 1,000 miles a minute.
So we'll see. There's a lot coming up in the Marvel lore, as there always is with the MCU. But again, we're dealing with a very important standalone movie in Captain Marvel. We finally have that leading lady superhero that Black Widow should have been long ago. But we finally have, on the heels of Ant-Man and the Wasp, now we have a leading superhero woman that's alone, standalone in her title, not sharing it with anyone. So that's nice to see finally.
And Jude Law is always the wild card. Even when he's a good guy, he looks like a bad guy.
Yeah, it's because he's British. That commercial he did, that car commercial years ago, where you ever notice how all the bad guys are British?
It's just the evil eye thing. He just looks like he's got these sulky eyes. And talk about hairlines that are always changing, ever changing from Jude Law, which is, again, a testament to real, truly wonderful makeup and hairstyle.
I'm starting to get that if the less hair you have to deal with on top, the more real the adjustments look. So maybe that's something there. But I'm excited for Captain Marvel.
Yes.
You're looking forward to
this,
I am.
I'm a little worried based on that Comic-Con trailer we had that you had some legitimate criticisms of, you know, so I'm wondering if they can hit the tones right.
I would be okay with no sexuality being thrusted in everyone's face, but that also was 2 years ago, probably some of the first footage, so I'm hoping they've resolved that by now.
Go back and listen to our Comic-Con trailers episode if you want to hear the full discussion there, but yeah, I'm into it. Ben Mendelsohn's always a bad guy. Jude Law's a wild card. We got Ronan. We got multiple bad guys for Brie Larson kick their butts, so I'm interested.
So those are the two big stories that came out yesterday on September 5th. We got one more thing. Like we said, we want to make this a little more interactive for you guys. So everyone is familiar with the idea of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You may not be.
Except
my partner wasn't, so I'm hedging my bets. But let me explain to you how it works. We wanted to start ending episodes with kind of a chain, a pair of actors, doesn't even have to be actors, but I'll get into it, about how two actors can be related to someone. Now, this game has been around for ages.
Related to each other.
Right.
Okay.
This game's been around for ages.
I thought they all had to relate to Kevin Bacon.
Which is the original iteration of the game. That's why it's called Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I was studying Kevin Bacon's filmography this morning.
It was like how Tommy Lee Jones connects to Kevin Bacon. But the idea is that you take two actors that could be any two. So, like, let's say last night Mike gave me Willem Dafoe and Richard Gere. So it would be my job to come up with, okay, this is going to be hard to do off the top of my head, but that's why I wrote it down ahead of time, that William Dafoe was in The Florida Project with Caleb Landry Jones, who was in Three Billboards with Sam Rockwell, who was in Iron Man 2 with Robert Downey Jr., who was in a post-credit scene in The Incredible Hulk, which starred Ed Norton, who was in Primal Fear with Richard Gere. So you're just kind of connecting these two actors through movies. Now,
I'm so scared right now.
I wanted to put a little twist on this. We're going to start suggesting six-degree pairings. I want to read the most interesting ones online on the episode live at the beginning of every episode. So if you guys come up with something really unique, that's the ones I want to highlight because I always think this is fascinating and kind of reminds me of movies I had forgotten about and performances I don't remember. It could even be stuff that's not exactly movie-related. You can keep it to two actors, two actresses, an actor and actress, something like that like I just did with the Dafoe and Richard Gere thing. You could email that to us, MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com. Get to us on Twitter, Instagram, MMAndOscar on Twitter, MikeMikeAndOscar, Instagram, and Facebook. If it's the most interesting one, it could be more than one, we want to read live on air during one of our episodes, during the recording of one of our episodes. But the more interesting, the better to me. It doesn't have to be just two actors. So let me give you an example. Let's connect Dennis Hopper to Kiefer Sutherland, okay? Dennis Hopper was King Koopa in Super Mario Brothers, right?
Right. Okay. Kiefer Sutherland was not in Super Mario Brothers?
He was not. Super Mario was in Super Smash Brothers Melee with Solid Snake. Okay, that's a video game. Now listen, Solid Snake is an offspring of Venom Snake, who was in Metal Gear Solid 5, voiced by Kiefer Sutherland.
You're saying a lot of words.
It's a video game offshoot. So if there's a music video, there's a video game. This is more of like an exploratory practice for me. I want to hear the creativity that you guys have and that we can come up with on our own and just kind of link two actors just for something fun and something interactive to do.
Sounds good. Now, are they going to be giving us challenges and the two of us are going to have to put our heads together to try and...
Sure. If that's what they want to do, absolutely. I'd be down with that because this is a game my brother and I have played for years just to kill time out of boredom. And
you have good recall. You're a lawyer. You have good recall.
Oh, no, I'm a psychopath is what it is.
I am turning into my parents in every episode where like, I have to edit, you know, 27 times because I'm looking for a reference to Anthony LaPaglia's former Emmy-nominated show.
Man, without a trace, what a show. But that's why I don't want to do this live on air. I don't want to say to you right now, Michael! Brie Larson to Jay Leno. Go. Yeah, I don't want to do that. So right. I think it would be difficult to do spur of the moment.
So we're laying down the gauntlet here today.
Yes, this is a challenge to you guys. We're going to introduce two actors. Give us feedback. We'll put it up on our social media pages as well. But I want the most interesting 6 degrees connection, whatever you can come up with. We're going to read the most interesting one, give a shout out on air. Could be more than one if we like the picks. It doesn't matter. But we'll give a shout out on air. We'll read it live. We'll give you a shout out to your social media pages.
Or for Mike's amusement and all your amusement, you can force me to try and solve one before.
Do one live?
Yeah. Until I turn into the guy from, what was that, Pie?
I only have like 15
Aronofsky's left Pie, just scraping his forehead.
Oh, but God. See, that'd be a good one, so get that after. Who's that?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Especially not me.
All right, so here we go. We're going to present the first pair of actors to be connected in this 6 degrees of MMO game. Whoever out there comes up with the most interesting or the most offshoot or the most random, the most interesting chain of connections. And again, it doesn't have to be exactly six. It could be two or five or 13. As long as it's interesting, the most interesting chain connecting these two actors is who we will give a shout out to on one of our next recordings. It may not be our very next one because we may record out of order. But in one of our next recordings, we will give you a shout out. We will read your chain live. We will comment on it. We will give you props and we'll even shout out your social media page to submit your submission, your answers, what you think is the most creative that you can come up with. Make sure you hashtag 6 degrees of MMO, spell out six, S-I-X, degrees, D-E-G-R-E-E-S-O-F, the letters M-M-O, rate it to us on Twitter, on our Facebook page, Mike and Oscar. Twitter is M-M and Oscar. You could even do it through Instagram in one of the comments section, or email it to us at MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com. So Michael, who is our first set of thespians for 6 degrees of MMO that our listeners should work on?
We just reviewed Searching, so I'm going to say Deborah Messing.
Nice.
And we reviewed Mission Impossible 2, and I don't know why he came into my mind, but Anthony Hopkins.
He's also in King Lear coming out. That's one of the September reviews.
Okay, so two reasons. So yeah. I gave you forced me to answer quickly, and I threw it at you.
So the most creative 6 degrees connecting Deborah Messing to Anthony Hopkins. I'm going to try to come up with one as well on our next recording, and we'll see what you guys come up with. I'm sure you can top me. That shouldn't be hard to do. But we want to hear the creativity. This is a challenge out to you guys, our MMO listeners, and I have no doubt that you guys are going to impress us and lead us down some crazy rabbit holes and callbacks and movies that we had long forgotten, and I can't wait. That's it for this little quick episode. We will do The Nun in the upcoming days, and we're going to be covering that. If you have not checked it out, go back and look at our first two episodes reviewing all of the Warren Cinematic Universe, where we review the two Conjuring movies, the two Annabelle movies, and basically talk about how James Wan is just a stud and can turn money out of, like, lint.
Yes, he's the man.
He literally turns stuffed dolls into money.
It's going to make 40 to 45 this weekend. Apparently, that's the new projections.
Doesn't surprise me. Well,
I'm kind of more. I'm more interested to review it now because it's a 50%er. It's so mixed in terms of reviews. So we can, like, you know, sway you one way or the other officially.
Looking forward to seeing it. Looking forward to reviewing it. And that'll be all coming up. Guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Mike, any last words of wisdom here?
Well, two of them. The Greatest Showman was almost like a 50, 60%er, I think it was. So, and I wound up enjoying that.
This is me!
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie-going experience. There's been some other 50%ers in the past that I have not. Big Lebowski was around 50% going way back. So we're trying to, you know, keep the hype going. We're a little disappointed that it's not rave reviews like The Conjuring.
Doesn't matter. Annabelle was nothing. And it was
awesomely bad.
Yeah.
So. But my real word of wisdom, if we're doing 6 degrees, is IMDb. IMDb.
Yes, that is your friend at times like these.
I will be studying.
Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine. Mike and Oscar at gmail.com is where you can email your 6 degree submissions to us or through any of those social media pages as well. We are MikeMikeAndOscar.com, Mike and Oscar on Reddit. Reach out to us, leave us an iTunes review. We are everywhere that you want to be. Go ahead and listen to us, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, etc.
Google Play, we're everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you can review us, that's a huge help. Thanks.
And get your butcher knives ready. Later, guys.
See ya.